Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Boy, this time of the year has been so busy. I don't know if you guys are exhausted, but I get so exhausted at this time of the year. And you know, it's because everybody is exhausted. And the more exhausted your people are, the more exhausted you are as a pastor.
You know, I'm Mark.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
And you're Dan.
I'm Dan Hurst. There's Mark Halleck here.
Yep. I had a pastor one time who said, we're going to try something in December. We're going to go dark in December.
What?
Uh-huh. That's what he said. So from December 1 to December 31st, we're not doing anything. We'll have Sunday morning services, but no programs. And he said, you know, here's a list of great Christmas programs, Christmas Eve services around the city. We just want our people to have a month where they just enjoy their family, enjoy the Lord, and just go dark. And he said it went really, really well. So I don't
really?
Know.
Really?
Yeah, he's looking for a church now.
Yeah, I'm guessing. You know,
he went dark after that.
So
it was all over. But I mean, he was really. I really did happen, and he was really responding to what you said. You know, how much do we do in December?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and we thought it might be a good time as we're closing out the year to just kind of help you reflect on where you've been this year and how to set goals for the coming year. Because this is a time of transition for you. And then we're going to follow up with helping your people set goals and making decisions about what they're going to do for the new year. So it's basically kind of a two-parter session that we're doing here. But, you know, if you don't take time to reflect and then to plan, and you can't do this in an hour.
Right.
It takes time to do this sort of thing. But you need to have a plan and a strategy for how you're going to really find the focus of what's real, what's been real in your life this year, and how to plan and strategize for getting into the new year and making those plans.
So in your church, guys, how do you evaluate every year what's been going on? Is there a structured way, a systematic way, even if it's a church like most of ours of 50, 75, 100 people, how do you take a deep look at 2024 and say, all right, where did we do well? Where did we not do well?
Yep.
What did we miss?
Yep.
Where did we spend money we shouldn't have? Where did we not spend money we should have as a church?
Yep.
And then in my own life as a pastor, where did I excel? Where did I certainly not? Where did I have some weaknesses? And then even as a husband and a father, and how do you take time to really evaluate what took place this next year? I know most of us, we're just so busy. We just plow right into 2025 and kind of hope we can do better. But I think it's really good, as Dan said, to pause a minute or more than a moment. And then to also have some people around you, hopefully some deacons or elders or others, and you really seek the Lord in this and say, what can we learn from this past year?
Yeah.
And what kind of adjustments must we make in order to really follow where Jesus wants us to be?
No, that's so good.
So how would you do that, Mark?
Well, yeah, I think, and I'm going to just play right off what you were saying. There's an exercise that I would recommend if you're a pastor or church leader at the beginning of the year to do this exercise. And I would say do it in three kind of realms. So here's the exercise. You get a whiteboard or a piece of paper. A whiteboard's more fun because you can, you get people involved. And, of course, that's the way I like to do it. And you have four columns, right, wrong, missing, confused. Okay, you put those words at the top of this, of each column. And so you're asking the question, what is right? What's going well?
You're talking about incidents or events or strategy?
Yeah. And, well, here's the thing. So right, wrong, what's wrong? Okay, what's not going well? What's missing?
Is for that particular event or thing?
Or confused. Okay. I'm going to come back to it. So you ask those four questions in three realms. One is my life personally. So what's right? What's going well in my personal life? What's wrong right now? What's missing in my life that honestly I need to incorporate to help me grow, to help me grow in my walk with the Lord? And what's confused? What am I doing right now? There's no real clarity on why I'm doing it. Well, that's one realm. A second realm would be your family.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Man, Keith.
Your family.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. So you and your spouse and your kiddos, it could be a great exercise to do together. You can make it fun. What's right now? What are we loving about our family? What's going well? What's wrong? Like, are there any blind spots or areas, guys, where we're missing the boat? You know, maybe we're not praying together the way we should, or we haven't had family worship in a long time, or maybe we need to have more fun together. I mean, I don't know. What's wrong? What's missing? Is there something that's just totally missing? And what's confused? Are there things that we're doing? I don't really know. So that's the second realm, is your family. The third realm is your church. And bringing your church leaders together, whoever that might be, and you do this exercise. Find an evening, go order some pizza, make it fun, okay? But you've got to be honest, and you ask together, let's be real, what's right? What's going well in our church right now?
And in order to really do that, you first have to know what doing well means.
Well, that's true. That's
right. And if you haven't clarified what doing well means, you'll get a whole variety of answers.
Yep.
Because to some people, doing well simply means growing numerically or growing financially.
Yep.
Or, you know, and we always say you really have to determine what it is your church is supposed to be. What do you call success?
Yeah.
And of course, in our team, we believe that success is a pattern of making disciples who make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
That result in your community being noticeably better.
Mm-hmm.
So however you want to word it, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit,
yes, right.
Whatever you say, this is what it means to be doing well for our church, that's what you look at.
Yeah.
And say, because you may have done some good things throughout the year, but it's not helping you disciple people.
Well, that's true.
Not helping you evangelize people, not helping the church become, but it's done some good things. And so you'll get some competing ideas.
Exactly.
And say, well, we did this event. It was really, but what was the impact of it? Did it really help us get to where we need to be?
Because something can seem right, and it's good, but it's confused.
So once you know what it means to say this is where we're going, then you do, go ahead, then you do what you say.
No, that's exactly right. I just think part of why you do this exercise, remember, encouragement is so key to leadership in your life, honestly, remembering the gospel, if you're going to lead your family, lead your church. So part of what you're doing in that what is right is you want to just list wins, man. What are wins? And remember this, every little win is a big win in the kingdom. So, you know, and you want to celebrate, especially if you're in a church where it feels like there's no wins.
Yeah, and if you put up the whiteboard papers or the big pages,
and
you just write every win that you see that God did this year, that can be really impactful.
Dude, so encouraging. And then it also allows you then to be honest about what's wrong. You see what I mean? It kind of sets, if you just start with what's wrong with our church or what's missing in our church, some people can live there all day.
That's right.
So that's why you need all four of the categories to balance it with hope and encouragement, but also being real. And I also find in that context, it's not you being the heavy. You're looking at these things honestly and you're giving others a voice into this. So then what happens as a result of this helps to shape your goals for the year. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Your goals for the year. So you're naming reality. That's what this exercise is. You've got to name reality before we go, okay, now let's take a step back. What are we going to do over the next 12 months differently or the same in light of what we've been talking about here?
And in doing that, if there is something that you probably should not keep doing, that you have been doing, it makes it more of a group impact, not you just as a pastor saying, Hey, Carl, we're just not going to have this event anymore.
Exactly.
You see the whole picture and kind of why we're going to shift and go to a different place. It also, and it's going to be hard sometimes to get this started because people get very ingrained in doing everything the same way every year. I remember there was a church I dealt with, and they had this, the city had one of these big festivals. I don't know what it was called, but it was, you know, like a corn festival or some kind of festival. It was a relatively normative sized town. And this church had a deal where they would make these potato chips, you know, deep fry them, and they were curly potato chips and all this kind of stuff. And they had the shelter that they built for it. They had the cooking stuff that they built for it. There was a huge deal in the life of this church, right? And they loved to do it. You know where I'm going with this. But when the new pastor came in after there a couple of years, realized all kinds of money and energy and work went into this, and all they ever did was just sell some potatoes, and the money went to some, you know, good cause, but it doesn't make any disciples. It wasn't make the community know you better because there was somebody next to them selling potatoes and somebody over there selling tacos, and it's like, what are we doing? When he tried to say maybe we could take all that time and money and energy we're doing in having a food booth at this fair and maybe do something that the community really needs, I mean, it was like, you go find another church, because this is important to us. Mm-hmm. This has been our ministry. So it's going to take a while.
Yep, that's true.
All right?
That's
and true. You may have to leave that up there for a while. But eventually, if you create this culture, you'll go, how does this really fit into this?
Yeah, that's true.
And you'll get to a place, hopefully, in a few years down the road, where there won't be any sacred cows, or what we say, you won't be guided by traditionalism,
right,
but by the urgency of fulfilling the commission that the Lord has given you.
Yeah, it becomes so clear that this doesn't fit, or this does fit, that it's ingrained into the culture.
I want to be careful about using secular business terms, because I got a real burr under my saddle for people doing that all the time. But I used to have something they called MBO, Management by Objective. And in some ways, you need, what is your objective? And that's how you manage to get there. And in some ways, that's, if your objective is to be what Jesus wants you to be and fulfill the goal that he's given for your church, then management by objective is a pretty good thing, rather than management by what do people want to do, what do they find enjoyable, where do they find their ministry. So find out what the objective is of the church overall, and then everything points toward that.
That's right.
Listen, in a smaller church, that's harder than in a larger church.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, a smaller church, people have these little siloed ministries that they love to do, and they don't really have any connection to anything else. And it's so hard.
And that's so true.
There's a limited number of volunteer hours in your church, a limited number of personnel hours in your church, limited number of money in your church. And, man, you got to use it in the most effective way you can. And having these annual reviews is a great way to do it. But again, don't try to, if you have never done this before, don't think you're going to go in the first year and change everything. You may have to leave some things for a while, but hopefully over time they'll begin to see this really isn't getting us where we need to do and make those kinds of changes.
One of the things let me share a concept that I do for myself personally and within my ministry. So I have two of these that I do, one for my personal life and my business, and then one for my ministry. And this is one of those things that you have to do over a period of years. So you start it and you do it for yourself, but if you bring your church in or your church leaders in on this, it becomes one of those things that becomes really a revelation over a period of time. You begin seeing, oh, this is where we're headed, this is what we've been doing and maybe messing up on. And that is, I take a list of, let me use the personal example. I'll take a list of what my personal goals are for the coming year, what my strategies are, what my goals are, that sort of thing. And I'll enumerate them. And I'll put them in order of priority as best as I understand them to be priority. Then I have a wheel. I call it the wheel of success. I have this chart. It's a pie chart, basically. And in each pie, I put one of those items. So there could be 10, there could be 12, there could be 4, you know, whatever it may be. And I have that strategy, and I've made notes on each one of them, what my intent is. You know, we'll talk about goals and success at some other time, but my strategy is simply I want to see what my new year is supposed to look like. And so through the year, as we go along, I keep referring back to this, and I see what my priorities are. And usually about once a month, I'll go and look at this wheel. At the end of the year, I go to the wheel, and on the wide pie part of the pie, you know, in other words, the exterior part of the wheel, I start shading in what percentage that I have not accomplished. Mm. So if my goal was, whatever the goal may be, and I said, you know what, I've only accomplished 50% of that. I shade in 50% of that pie. Mm, if it's 80%, I shade in 20%, you know, that sort of thing. And then I stand back and I look at that wheel and I see, where would the flat tire be? And I realize, I begin to see where I've missed, you know, what this wheel isn't going to run on this kind of success or lack of success, you know. And the same thing with my ministry. And over a period of time, because you begin to start setting the same goals over and over again, don't you? I mean, I do.
Yeah.
It's okay. This is a new goal, but it's kind of like the same goal that I had. We do that in churches also. We have this ministry strategy or goals, and we can begin to see where we're coming up weak on this. Why? And that I wanted to follow up with you. You have your four columns. How do you follow up on that? Because if you don't, then what's the point of the exercise, right?
Well, yeah, and you've got to highlight. I mean, basically, what you're starting is a big brainstorm, and then you're narrowing it down, right? So you're going to really come to the point where you're focusing on 3 to 5 things total. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Then from those areas, you can develop, you can keep coming down the abstraction ladder to, okay, what are some goals then in order to accomplish that or to do away with that or whatever? Does that make sense? All the way
absolutely.
Down. Absolutely. So, yeah, you've got, you can't just, so you start broad and then you bring it in closer to yourself. Like, so I would even say this in terms of your own personal life. And when we think about developing our people at our church, we focus on goals around three areas, the head, the heart, and the hands, okay? So this year, how do I want to grow in loving God with my mind? And that might involve reading books. Maybe I'll take a class, maybe whatever, you know. My heart, where are some areas of my heart I need to devote to more devotional time and prayer, whatever that might be? And then hands, what are some areas or things I want to do to grow the application of it? And so point being with that, with all of these things, you've got to bring it down the abstraction ladder from big ideas to something real practical where there can be accountability and encouragement to actually follow through and move in a new direction.
And you guys, I think in a normative-sized church, again, I don't think there's very many mega church pastors who are tuning in to us and going, man, we got to hear what that Halleck and Clifton have to say.
Well, they should.
You know, they got it going on. But most of us are pastors of 100 people or less.
Yep.
This would be a great way to, you've got a couple, three deacons, get a chairman of deacons, get your chairman of your finance committee, get, if you have WMU chairman, get her, a couple of other key church, maybe your building and grounds chairman, whoever you got, and let them, and then you're getting a whole, then you're getting a lot of people involved in looking at what is our goal.
That's right.
What are we, and again, don't expect necessarily miracles the first year, but if you do this 2 or 3 years, hopefully you'll begin to create a culture where they'll be willing to make some changes based on this. And let me give you one really good book. I mean, like I said, I'm sort of sometimes reluctant to look at secular stuff on how we lead churches. Henry Blackaby just had such an influence on my life on that. But there are some times that it can be good. Yeah. And the 12-week year. Hmm. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, yeah. I don't think I have, actually.
It's an excellent book, A 12-Week Year by Brian Morgan and Michael Lennington. We actually use it to some degree at the North American Mission Board. I work directly for Kevin Ezell, the president, and so every 12 weeks, he and I have some of these very scheduled meetings and talk about what I've done the last 12 weeks, what I'm going to do in the next 12 weeks, because I mean, he's just impressed beyond belief every time we have that with
blown away.
With my success, you know. Seriously, it really is a great way to take your year and make sure you're accomplished, so you don't put things off too long. You got 12 weeks to do these things, 12 weeks to do that. It's a great way to, especially for a normative sized church or for any organization.
Yep.
So guys, check it out. And it's a way to kind of manage your life too.
Yes.
It's called the 12-week year. I highly recommend it as you look into the end of this year, next year. I love what you said, Halleck, about this kind of process, and I think it'd be helpful for all of us.
And you need to have a strategy where you review all of that at a specific time and plan on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, you just don't tell your people, okay, we're going to take a look at this and see how we've done later on. No, as you go along, maybe once a quarter. You know.
Well, and I think that's the 12 weeks, right?
I think four times a year,
I think a quarterly, that's what we try to do. Is have check-ins every quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how are we doing on those goals? Where are we, you know?
Yeah. Well, you take the year and you take the year and you divide it into those 12 weeks, those four quarters, and you go, this is what we're going to do this quarter.
Yes.
And this, what are we doing? It's really great. And then if, you know, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, just wing it the rest of the year. It'll be all right.
Sure. Yeah, why not? Like you've been doing.
Yeah, just shoot from the hip. You know, it'll be okay.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. We hope it's been kind of helpful to you as you face the new year. And we're going to follow up with a podcast on now. What about the people now that are going to come to your church because they've made a New Year's resolution, you
know,
that they're going to start? How do you encourage them and help them to capture a vision for the new year? We'll talk about that in the next podcast. Thanks to the North American Mission Board. You guys have been so awesome this year in helping us get this podcast out. It's amazing, the response. I mean, we are in the thousands of downloads a month now that people are listening, which is kind of intimidating.
A little bit.
But we thank you for listening, and once again, thanks to a Midwestern Seminary who's been so what a blessing to help us so many times in providing a place where we can do the podcast. You guys have an awesome, awesome new year, and we'll see you next year.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.